3:55.
Meeting is called to order on 3:55 on June 14th. President is Susan Mitchell, Vice President.
Jennifer Scott. Debbie Fees.
Chris Moody.
Lauren Wisely.
Anna Vargas.
Andrea Rogers.
Alan Stafford.
Joe Schell.
Patricia Oliphant.
And I had texted you, can we go into the executive session first to discuss the board member applications?
I move that we go into the executive session. You can always do it anytime you want.
All right. I need a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? So, here we go.
There you go.
Okay, now with executive session at 4:23, some additional board members are now present.
I'm second.
Oh, sorry. I second.
Okay.
You're allowed to sit in if you want. It's a public meeting, so you can manage.
Well, Trish, I told him earlier that we were going to be in executive session and not to come until about 4:15, 4:15, so.
You don't want him in here yet?
No, 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 he can come, we're done.
Come on, we're done. No, I was talking to his daughter.
Oh, okay.
That's who I was talking to.
Is this Mike Bellrose?
Hello.
Hi, he's our middle school volleyball coach. He has agreed to help us.
Are we back on recording, Alan?
Okay, so the two board members who came have.
Lauren.
Not just your name, you have to say, I am late.
Forgive me.
Please forgive me, Shanta Wilkinson, woefully late now.
Anyone else come in late?
No.
Oh, okay. So Mike Bellrose is our middle school volleyball coach. He applied to be a board member because he's on our payroll, we can't, or in an employment position, we can't have him on the board, but he's agreed to be on a committee and to help us in any way he can. Very grateful, I'm very grateful.
Thank you for coming.
Oh, yeah, my pleasure.
Now, I can't have you sit at the board table though, unfortunately.
Oh.
Okay.
So we just came from a conference and that was part of my governance session training. All right. So approval of board minutes, has everyone had a chance to look at the minutes from last month? Oh, we have to vote on executive session. The application known as, for board member known as.
That's my blue.
No, we're going to do that under new business.
Oh, we're going to wait to do that?
Mm-hmm.
Late, and I thought we had to do it when we came out of executive session.
No.
No? All right, we'll do it later. Yes?
Can you make a statement about either the agenda or something?
All right, we are going to make a change to the agenda under Roman numeral eight, new business. Change A to board interviews and election of officers. And item C, FSF, PHRST roles, and also departure or recognition of departing officers. Is that correct?
Shoot, I don't have the right agenda, pardon me. I have the agenda that was emailed earlier. That's okay, I'll just write it in.
All right. So now approval of minutes from last month. Everyone have a chance to review the minutes?
I move that we accept the minutes as written.
I did have one change under succession plan, under, at the bottom of page two. It says committees for the 2017-18 school year. Susan Mitchell requested that board members who would like to chair a committee contact her. I'd like that, to change that to say chair or serve on. Either one, a particular committee to please contact her.
With that addition, I approve the minutes.
Joe Schell moves to approve the minutes with the change. Any second? Anyone second?
I second.
Shanta seconds. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Minutes from last month are accepted. Did we have a packet of handouts that Lance could, I mean, that Mike could look at?
Yeah, sure.
Director report?
Well, there could be numerous things on here, but we've experienced those many numerous things that we would have reported on at end of the year activities, inclusive of prom, senior dinner, graduation, and the eighth grade dinner or luncheon, and moving up. So most of you were in attendance. We think it went very well, and we are very, very, very appreciative of the opportunity to have had those good times and wonderful moments for parents and for the kids.
Commencement was amazing. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was amazing. It was special and so well done and impressive, and I was just so overwhelmed and proud, and it was really fabulous. And the dinner, I mean, it was just, I was actually somewhat dismayed because I was thinking as the classes get bigger, like, I was like, darn it, my kids are not going to get this. But, you know, as they get bigger, we're not going to be able to do the same stuff. And it just, it was really just fantastic, fantastic stuff.
Well, we had a lot of people worked on it, and they are to be commended and thanked. So thank you. We got great write-up in the local, and
Cape Gazette.
Cape Gazette. I mean, I was just thrilled that we got such a wonderful write-up, and thank you to Dennis Forney. Okay? Mm-hmm. Very honestly, thank you, Dennis Forney, for the great job, and we were thrilled.
By far, we had the best speakers, I'll tell you, of any graduation, for sure, any local high school graduation.
So the other thing I wanted to mention, all of you are aware that there was a planning and zoning committee meeting that I attended, Joe attended, Susie attended, relative to an operation of Clean Bay Renewables. We attended the meeting. I have not, and Joe may know, I haven't checked back with what action.
No action.
No action, okay.
We need to explain it because they don't.
Okay.
Somebody, you know where the old Georgetown racetrack is? Everybody have a handle on that?
If you don't know, it's Sand Hill Road past the Cheer Center on the other side of the road.
It's really, it's just behind the residence. It's on Route 9.
It's in a triangle. If I put my hands like this and I had a triangle, it's right down there.
Anyway, they proposed two large chicken manure processing plants, which I'm making it sound bad because it does sound bad.
Yeah. Well, it was anaerobic, which means they were enclosed without oxygen, fully enclosed. They're huge. They would, they are large enough to recycle all of the chicken poop in our state and also bring in more from Virginia and Maryland. Huge. So.
And it was $100 million investment. Probably, again, these kinds of statements I think were made there. Probably a fantastic idea. I mean, environmentally, probably great idea.
Great idea,
innovative, using multiple technologies is the way I saw it.
And it converts it to methane, which would produce electricity, and then you get nitrogen for fertilizer and phosphorus that's used in some product that would be shipped to the Midwest.
So it's going to be, in other words, they're taking the product, they're converting the product into usable products. Wrong place. One of the things that came out, a gentleman by the name of, Mike
Johnson,
who had been on planning and zoning, he spoke to this, and I don't know enough about land use to know, but I use the term, it's an industrial site, and he talked about changing this, the zoning. That it, he spoke as a former planning and zoning person, that they would have to change the zone to something different.
So I think I can summarize it.
And to me, it's an industrial operation. It's not just a commercial operation, and it's not just an agricultural operation. It's an industrial operation in the middle of a school community, generational people over here, and kids.
Sports at the beach.
And it's just the wrong location, in our view.
So the way the lawyer for the company put it through is he put it through as a conditional use application, where, yes, it's zoned agricultural, but just for this particular condition, we want to use it, you know, for the, and Mike Johnson made the point that this is not somebody operating a computer repair business out of their garage. This is more appropriate for zoning change. From a lawyer's perspective, it's much more difficult to get the zoning change, which is, I'm sure, why they've tried to put it through as a conditional use. It is my sense that we have a good shot of it being denied.
So on the 18th of July at 1:30, it then goes to county council, correct?
Correct.
And county council then has an opportunity to uphold, or do they have to wait for
a... I think they can have a hearing.
Okay, so they have a hearing.
But they, so the Planning and Zoning Commission will make a recommendation to the county council. The county council does not have to follow their recommendation, and they can have a hearing of their own.
I assume it would be our intention to go to the county council meeting, or no? Or does it...
Yes.
Okay. If it's a hearing, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Also, who do we need to call on the county council?
I don't think you need to call anybody. We can.
It might be inappropriate to call them. I don't know.
I think the...
No, they're elected officials.
Overwhelming support for opposing the plan was everybody in the room except for the people presenting. Nobody got stood up.
Yes, they said anybody here in favor. There was no one.
Because they have to take, procedurally, they have to listen to the in favors first.
Right.
I learned that. I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
And there was nobody there.
Are they talking about how many jobs it's going to bring to the county?
Yeah.
How many?
80, 40 a plan, permanent, then more with doing the construction, obviously. But it's dead on arrival, in my opinion. I don't think there's anything. I talked to the county. Todd Law, and he said they didn't rule, but don't worry about it. So I'm not worried about it.
Okay.
And I guess they already had the hearing set for the county.
Right.
So there was a deadline there.
Okay.
And I think that important.
Exactly.
But I do want to make one other important point, and it was something that came to me. They were going to make a $100 million investment. That's wonderful for the county, wonderful for jobs. But ladies and gentlemen, we've got a $35 million investment here. And don't you ever forget it, please. There's a $35 million investment here. And keeping that $35 million investment is very, 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 very important.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying.
I know you feel strongly about that.
Financials? You finished all done, Trish? Did you have any other director report?
I'm sorry.
You worked hard for that $35 million investment. Monthly board financial report?
You had the packet with some things highlighted. On page one, we should be at 91.67. Expenditures for the year, we're only at 89, so we're running a surplus of 2.58%. Now,
where are you? I'm sorry.
On the yellow, on the first page.
Okay, I see it. All right.
A lot of stuff has come in recently for sports. I don't know if that's because Steve was out. And
a lot of expenses, you mean? Bills?
Yeah. I don't know if it's because he was out and they were just accumulating in his mailbox, and now that he's back, we've been processing them. But it's not a significant amount. So if you look on page two in the yellow at the bottom, you'll see that 2.58% of our budget is about $191,000. So given that, now I know what I thought was the bell is your bottle. We have a bell out there for people to ring when there's no one there. And when I stepped out, it's because I thought I heard the bell. I'm thinking, now I'm losing my mind. Because the young lady out there is like, there's no bell. So because of that, I've gone ahead and approved prepayment on the bus lease for fiscal year 18. Prepayment on a textbook order of $15,000, and prepayment on the IB annual fee. The four of those together came to about 44, plus the actions we talked about in executive session will come out of that. So I still think we're going to have some carryover, which will be good. Because when we talk about, I can do it now. At graduation, Kendall Massett said to me she needed to talk to me about finances because what I had previously been told, it's much worse. Instead of the $150,000, she thinks it's going to be maybe three times that.
She thinks what is going to be that?
The budget cut from the state level.
Okay.
State funding.
So instead of 1.5%.
She didn't go into the particulars. It was graduation. She asked me to call her. I happened to call her today. She was still in Washington. So she did not get back with me. I should get additional information from her. She's trying to broker some sort of a deal. I don't want to put too much out there because I don't know, based on what she was able to say, where exclusions from local school districts will be limited even further so that we may be able to make up some of the loss at the state level with local. I don't know how far that's going to go. I don't know how far she's gotten that with the Department of Education. I think that's why she sent me an email Friday asking me to call her. And today's the first opportunity I've had to do that. So, but if I get any additional information, I will certainly send it. That is either positive or negative. I will certainly get it out to the board through email, just to keep you all informed.
But we only get, just a question for you, but we only get from what you understood, local monies, if they go to the referendum list increase. So CAPE and Indian River and Seaford raise the tax rate in their communities, we will get some of that like we should. But the state piece won't be changed. It'll be lower by
Correct.
Whatever this amount is.
Correct.
But if they don't change the tax rate, then chances are, let's say CAPE says we're flush, we can handle this. They don't change that tax rate. That hurts you, it hurts us by 33% or whatever.
Unless she can kind of explain it to me in a way that I'm not envisioning, I think we're going to get really hit for next year. I wanted to use another word, but I'm cognizant that it's being recorded. I think we're really going to get hit next year because we're always a year behind on local. So if they make a change to their, they didn't make it last year, and we're going to get money from last year.
True.
She did mention something about not being able to exclude match tax. Right now, they can exclude their match tax. And if they can't exclude that anymore, then that may be where the money's going to come from. I don't know what each district is able to exclude from match taxes, and even if each does have a match tax. They're going to be able to put this is all speculative. There's talk that they're going to be able to put a match tax in to cover the loss of that educational sustainment funds that prevent them from laying off teachers. That started with the stimulus money way back when, in 2009, but because we can't levy a tax, we will continue to get that. Now, if that's changed, I don't know. And I don't think anything has actually changed. This is just stuff that's in the works.
Yeah, Helen, and I've forgotten, so I apologize. Is the match tax, by definition, is that the tax that the district can levy without going to referendum?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, one district will not be doing that. I'm going to tell you, I am just as sure of that as I'm sitting here. And that's just the school district.
And that's maybe why they've started riffing so many personnel.
Because they don't do it philosophically, ever since that's been in. And philosophically, that board has been opposed to doing anything in terms of raising taxation that does not go back to the people. And that is truly their, this is a philosophic belief held, in my view, by those board members that generally have been elected to that school district.
Plus, they just did a referendum the second time around, got approved, so they just had an increase less than 12 months ago.
Right.
I don't know about CAPE or anybody else, but that's true with them. Okay.
All right, so nothing of particular note on page 3. On page 4, I have two things highlighted. The first one is the account that the IB money will come out of, the IB fee. So I'm going to overspend in that particular account by about $9,000.
Where are you, page four?
Page four. Educational consultants, that's where our IB annual fee comes from. Busing, we should be within the budgeted amount for that because that was $17,000 or $18,000, and I think it will be able to absorb that. The next page, I have instructional supplies highlighted. The textbooks are about $16,000, so we'll go over budget in that line.
But it's just this, it's just because we're prepaying.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I still think that even with what we discussed in executive session, we'll be fine in terms of personnel expenses. Still stay within budget. Page six is the summary sheet that shows each of the appropriations we have set up either in the state that are held at the state or the ones that are held locally.
So what number are we supposed to look at here? If you highlighted one in yellow, that was the most important number, which would it be?
I probably would go to the bottom and highlight the current balance that we have.
Which is what?
2,637,566. And then if you add our local funds, it's $2,900,072.
So that number has been growing despite the fact that we've been lower than we want to be in attendance. Mm-hmm. So you've been able to continue to grow this.
And a lot of it has to do
with... Did we have any year where we were?
We did. The first year we were in this building, we were negative. Yeah.
But since then, we've been positive.
Now, last year it was just a few thousand, but it was positive. Last page is the summary page that goes on the website. And the change that was made for last month is we separated out health insurance from salaries and benefits and separated technology and IT support to sort of give you all an idea of what we're spending on those areas.
Can I just, on this last page, just to make sure everybody who's not financially gifted understands it, up at the revenue line.
Mm-hmm.
We thought we would have, based on the number of units or whatever, and our students at October 1st, $7.4 million of revenue.
Mm-hmm. Well, this was updated in May. No.
Okay, that's an amended number from
yes,
what we...
Yes, yes. And even since those projections were made, we've still collected an additional $73,000 more than anticipated.
And that's what I want to make sure everybody understands. So we thought we were going to get 7.4 as recently as May. This is now June, so not very long ago. We're really going to have $7.5 million of revenue. So a plus, largely due to some of the items above that Alan can explain to us, of $73,000 more than we thought. I mean, you go down below for expenditures. Alan always budgets the same amount for expenditures as for revenue when he's budgeting, when he's projecting out. So it's the same number down there on total operating expense budget. It's the same as the total revenue. And then where the differences are gives you the expenditures we've created to date of $6.6 million. We expect somewhere around 725. Is that what you expect, Alan, or is that the...
For Nick.
Not for the balance.
I think that's the balance remaining on hand.
And 10% of, if you had, you've only had 90% of your expenditures recognized so far, right?
Correct.
So if you say we have 10% more of the expenditures, which was 606.6 million.
Right.
660,000.
So you would have 660,000 more, so that would be 7.2 million.
Well, we basically average about just under $600,000 a month in expenditures. If you look back on page one,
right.
589, 491, 739, 580, 559, 579.
What I'm curious about is, I find these confusing. I did finance my whole career. I can imagine how some of the rest of you must feel about this. Is we're getting 6 or 7 pages worth of numbers, and Alan talks for a few minutes, but your knowledge hasn't expanded. And what I think we need to do is, everybody needs to say, I don't understand that. Tell me what that means, what that number is all about. We have an obligation as a board, no matter what your background is to understand the financials of the school. So if we get sued, Chantal, you're just as guilty as I am, regardless of our background, even though the Steve Berg should be most guilty.
Exactly.
Right after Alan. But we're all the same guilty.
Just
so
to bring
don't just sit here and nod your head and feel like hopefully somebody understands what's going on or is asking the right question. If we don't understand it, we need to keep working with Steve and Alan on how we present it, so it's clear that you know exactly what numbers you want to focus on to tell a big story. And then if you need to dig down in, you can.
Probably one of the most important responsibilities that you have as a board is your fiduciary responsibilities. That is probably one of the most important responsibilities.
And just so everyone is aware of it, because I don't know that it is common knowledge as the board changes complexion. We pay Innovative Schools each month to go over the same state reports that I go over to verify each of the numbers that are in this document. So they see everything that I see and go through and verify all of the stuff. They used to prepare these for us, and we went through them, and then I took over the responsibility to save the school money. I took over doing them, and they're the reviewers. So there is a second set of eyes that are paid to review the information and look at the same data that's available. We send them copies of the bank statements from PNC each month, and this all just happened this week because the state has a delay in when they process it. These reports only became available Monday. So, actually Sunday. I did this Sunday and sent it over, and he went through Monday and called me back Tuesday.
So just one thing to make some of the board members feel. One of the things I learned this week at the conference is that for the health of the board, part of the president's job is to make sure there's a vehicle to educate board members. So I hope to maybe add an education item to the agenda every month, so that we can address some issue, like our open meeting law, or a little bit of financial education. I mean, obviously we want to get finished in 2 hours, but 15 minutes on some topic, maybe, each month.
And I could check to see, I know for the Lewis Library, we had to do something similar to that, because we realized that a lot of us had been on the board for a while, there were certain things that we just didn't know. So through the, it was like the American Library Association, they have this webinar series that we were able to hook up to one of our computers and video monitors at every board meeting. We watch, at the beginning of each meeting, we watch a 10-minute series or a 15-minute series, and it discusses different topics. It discussed how to properly do an agenda. Then the next meeting discussed our fiduciary responsibilities. Then some were pertaining more so to libraries, but I could check to see if there's something similar to that for school boards.
Why don't you and
see
I
if we could, yeah, we
follow
could
up
that.
On that. I would like that very much.
Yeah.
Thank you. And the one issue that did come up is some of our open meeting law is state specific. It's a Delaware law, mm-hmm. so, but we could probably use pieces of whatever,
yes.
mm-hmm. Can find.
To drive this point home one more time with regard to what we need to do to be comfortable with the financials that Alan and Steve present to us. 66% of all charter schools that have closed, not just in this state but everywhere in the United States, are fraud or bad financial planning. No other reasons. There were 34% for some other reason. But fraud is the biggest issue. We have great faith in Alan, so that's not much of an issue for us, but we need to be focused on finance more than ever, because that's our biggest weakness, even with him as our strength here.
And I'm sorry, Joe, were you
done? No.
The strength is the asking questions. That's the way that people discover fraud, is that people sitting out there ask questions. So if you don't understand, please ask the questions.
But not Don S. Gallon, just to give you a bad answer.
You know, I understand the confusion, and I'm trying to figure out, and I've done a lot of research. It's hard to find something that's easy to understand, that summarizes data, that fits our data. And I've looked, and, you know, I've researched a lot of nonprofit profit and loss. You know, Steve has an idea that I don't find comforting and easy to understand, where we break the revenue up as if it were coming in on a monthly basis, even though we get front loaded. But that would look odd to me because that's not really how the money comes in.
That's a more accrual accounting rather than
cash basis. Right. And so we're trying to find something. He's designed something that I just don't quite understand. And I tried to modify it, and it just didn't look right. And so.
So does anyone have any more questions about the financials?
Let me just give it to you in idiot speak. You tell me thumbs up, thumbs down. Column A minus B minus C equals the balance, okay? Of that balance, we owe about 600 grand left in bills, which is the 10%. What's left is the 191,471 minus what you prepaid.
Correct.
Break it down.
There you go.
Break it down. I look it on my phone in my
calculator doing the numbers.
Okay. All right.
You get an A minus for your math.
Minus?
But you're so loud.
I'm always loud, you know it. The tape recorder has to hear me.
All right. So
good for you.
We have a motion to approve the financial report.
I make a motion that we approve the financial reports dated ending May 31,
2017.
Anyone second?
Second. Lauren second. All in favor?
Any Aye. Discussion?
Aye. Oh, any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Foundation update.
We have not had a meeting since our last board meeting here, which I reported on where we were. We're in strong financial position, like the school is, and the construction that's ongoing, which we're paying attention to, is just about finished on the nest. They now have the roof on. I haven't been out there to see if the siding is all on. We're within 2 weeks of finishing the nest. And then we will be doing the sidewalks in concrete instead of asphalt, and doing all the irrigation and plantings around the fields.
Jim, a couple things here, Joe. What is the timeline for the sidewalk? I mean, how long does that take? A week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks? What do you think?
I would say 2 weeks, but I don't really know.
Okay. The irrigation, I just noticed that the trees, the newly planted trees, I ask that we get water to them, because I think I guess there's no irrigation there yet, right?
Where, out front here or out back?
No, in the back, behind the pool, where they planted a bunch of trees.
There should be.
Okay. Well, they were looking like drab, so anyway, I told somebody, get water to them.
Did you tell Alex or something, or the irrigation people?
I told Alex. Okay. Get water to them. If they're not being watered, get water on them. I don't know how. Buckets, I don't care.
You cannot throw the water in cans.
I don't really care.
All right, committee reports.
Oh, hey, excuse me. I just wanted to say, too, that the it seemed like the gift cards for the graduates went over huge. I watched the reaction of the parents that were sitting around, and it was really cool. Like, they definitely, the parents were really blown away by it.
I mean, it was just,
yeah, that was super.
It was a lovely mm-hmm. gesture.
Yeah.
Just phenomenal. Thank you.
They were still talking about it weeks afterwards.
Yeah.
Oh, my.
It made a huge impression.
I'm surprised they didn't spend it already.
Maybe they have.
Not mine.
Well, we were happy to do it. I didn't get any feedback, so thank you for that.
I literally saw the chatter going. They were like talking to each other going, you know, oh my gosh.
I think probably didn't get feedback, maybe, because people were so awed. It's because they had never experienced anything like that mm-hmm. in a school. What school does that? Mm-hmm. What school does that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was, I don't know.
Sussex County Charter Schools. All of them. Well, it was nice to have every graduate get something.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, because the Cohen Davis sort of dominated all the rest of them, and Nate Riddle. But there seemed to be a domination there of a couple of the seniors. But this was meant to be, you know, you were all part of a class that led us through to the 12th grade.
Yeah.
So I think it worked out well.
Mm-hmm. And I have to say, I stuck my head in the nest, and it's nice.
Big.
It's big.
Yeah. Huge.
It's a lot bigger than
yeah.
I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
No wonder it cost a damn much money. Okay.
All right. For legislative, I was at the charter school conference for the last 3 days, and my computer broke, so I did not submit a report. In terms of statutes, the one that seemed to be of concern at the conference was the 5 mile radius rule that some of the upstate charter schools use. In particular, the two that use it are Newark Charter, which is a very high performing charter school, and also a charter school in Wilmington that serves almost all low income kids, and it uses the 5 mile radius to keep those kids.
What is the 5 mile radius rule?
It's a preference. So that a charter school can say, we want the 5 mile radius, so that the students that live within that radius are given preference to attend the school. But the
idea of creating the community school.
And the bill came to the table because of Newark Charter School. It was perceived that it was discriminatory and that it was made to keep your wealthier students. And the legislators were told there were going to be unintended consequences to this bill, like the Wilmington school. And I guess at least one legislator said, you mean there's a school that uses it to keep those kids?
Yep.
But anyway, it passed the House, and it is now in the Senate. We're hoping it doesn't pass.
It'll do away with the 5 mile radius.
It'll do away with the 5 mile radius, and then the only preference you can request in place of that is the district that the school is located in.
Why are we
and that
and the school and the school and the school that has the 5 mile radius
in Wilmington though?
In Wilmington is a
Montessori school
first state
so
Montessori.
It's Montessori school mm-hmm. and so the Montessori school that was made to serve those children in a play and learn environment
same school that has an application in to open a Montessori elementary school
yeah.
in Georgetown on the other side of 113.
In Georgetown? I thought they were going to go to Laurel.
Georgetown. Okay. Other side of 113. Mm-hmm. And we need to probably help them.
The other side of 113, that side, you mean, on the west side?
Yep.
Yeah.
But Georgetown.
All right.
They pulled their application. They were supposed to open
you're right.
this fall.
You're right.
But they... First of all, the school in Wilmington is very successful.
Very successful.
Very successful. They have a huge wait list. They're a good, good company. They pulled their application because they didn't have all their ducks in a row. I want to talk to Kendall further about why, but they are going to resubmit, not probably next fall, but maybe the following fall.
They may be in conversation with some folks now.
Good. I think if we can help, we...
Didn't they have an open house here? There was a group that
had
an open house here.
They had a meeting here. Yeah.
Yeah.
Be great to have another one.
So I think they're in conversation.
And then the other legislative update is the bill that would make school start after Labor Day, from what I understand, is just not moving through the legislature. So those are the two major ones. Does any other committee have any kind of an update? If not, we have some policies, new policies to address.
The only report we got was athletics, I think, right? Did Outreach have a meeting?
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have a meeting. I'm currently working on compiling this resource packet, I guess it would be, but well, it's not just printed, it's like a living document
mm-hmm.
that has everything to do with So it'll have lesson plans, ideas for events and expeditions, articles, things for classroom management and bullying, school climate, building a more inclusive school climate, and then just resources, and it'll all have links to completely fleshed out things from around the World Wide Web so that you can click on any given topic and that will be prepared, I would say, in the next week or so.
That's done. Where is that going to live? Is that like a link on our website?
No, I'm going to give it to Trish and you can do with what you want with it. But it'll be, it'll be this, it'll have, you know, various sections, and I'm just working out, making sure it's comprehensive and...
You're going to work on that over the summer and keep it going?
I have that. That was actually supposed to,
keep trying.
Done by now.
So you'll have that ready when you come back in the fall?
Sounds like it.
I have it ready before so my folks can use it on their summer culture.
No, yeah, we're joking about the, when you come back in the fall.
That was a joke, yeah.
You're not joking. Great, that sounds cool. Any other committee reports?
No, any other committee reports?
Nothing from P&G.
Alan, did you want to address the proposed policies here?
Two of them I can. 1003A is a wellness policy. We are required to have a wellness policy. We have a wellness policy in place and it's on our website. Whenever anyone from DOE comes down to do anything related to our meal program, they ask to see it, they review it to make sure it's compliant. Well, they've now changed the expectations and the content. And so to be compliant, it needs to have the things that are included in this. And I believe I sent this out last week.
So
you
did.
Okay.
And I looked, this tracks almost identically the model policy that was put out by the USDA. Mm-hmm. And I read it over to make sure that there was nothing in here that was for public schools but not charter schools. I did not see anything that stuck out to me. And I found it to be what the USDA recommended.
Mm-hmm. Not recommended.
Well,
it's required.
Well, except that it's their
yes.
model policy.
Yes.
So they're requiring the law, but here's the model policy that they recommend you use to implement. So, yeah.
And there was not much turnaround time provided between when they informed the food services workers, who would be Andy Davis for us, who goes to these meetings, and when it had to be in place. It has to be in place by July 1st. So I think we got it in April. And
Can I please make a comment?
Mm-hmm. You don't like it?
No, I don't, okay? But it doesn't matter that I don't like it. I feel there's over-regulation, but it doesn't matter. It is a regulation. We have to abide by it. I would lift your attention to page 5. In talking about celebrations and rewards.
Yes.
Okay. And that what is put upon the school is that we have to provide certain things to parents. I'm telling them what healthy snacks are. And list of foods and beverages that meet Smart Snacks guidelines, or else you're not going to have any snacks in school. And that's fine. That's what everybody wants to do. That's nothing that I personally can do about it. Mm-hmm. But I believe it is over regulation of systems. And that is what I believe. And so I offer that. Doesn't matter. Because I'm in the minority.
In Betsy DeVoe's comments, that was the one thing she said, there are going to be way fewer regulations coming from the Department of Education, which will influence this, the USDA. I do think she understands exactly what you're saying. So let the teachers teach the kids, let the administrators administrate the school, and leave them alone. So she was strong on that.
The other side of that, and I certainly understand the other side of it, the other side of it is that our children are not healthy enough. They're not eating well enough, okay? And I get all that. I also get that children who perhaps have less sometimes don't eat as healthy because, as Alan always points out to me, eating healthy, eating vegetables, eating fruits, et cetera, is more expensive than eating snacks oftentimes.
Or just shopping on the near aisles of the grocery store.
I just want to lift to the board's attention.
$10, you can feed a family of five.
I think it's over-regulatory. And it means if it, it, yeah, I think it's over-regulatory.
Those components of this that were related to snacks, for example,